Dr. Chanel Benson Reed. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. I'm so happy that you're here with me to do this podcast. As most of my listeners know, if I have a following so far, thank you. That, you know, I interview people that, you know, I have some relationship with in a way that I know a little bit about, because it is the Real Deal Hill show, you know. So I think it's important to give my listeners access to people who, it's not about credibility, but have substance, who's been through some things, made it through the process, you know, are expert in their field, but also really what we're talking about is just life in general, you know, no sugar coating, no fluff,
right?
But we're talking about the real stuff. You being from Cali, which I gotta let you tell them,
right,
you know, right? So just tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right, so I am Dr. Chanel R. Benson Reed, and I am the president and CEO of Access Global Enterprises. And Access is a family of companies. We have our largest undertaking breaking ground in the next couple of weeks. And after that, we anticipate breaking ground with other projects.
Okay.
And so that is the professional side. I'm here in New York with Lakia now, but before, I'm actually from California, so that's where I lived. Born and raised, bred, reared up, all of it. San Bernardino, right outside of Los Angeles. That's where I'm from. And so all of my education is from Southern California. My book knowledge, my street knowledge, all of it is from California. I am the parent of four. I have a daughter who is 28. And she's married, and her and her husband have a daughter. So I have a granddaughter, and they have one on the way due in a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. Congratulations on that number two.
Yeah. And I have a son who's 26. He lives in Germany. And then I have a set of twins that are 11. Huge gap. When my twins were born, my son and daughter were 15 and 17. And so I was almost done, and I started back up. And so that's my personal life. I am a educator, I would say, by craft.
Mm-hmm.
My background is education. I'm certified to teach in the state of New York and the state of California. I have a master's in education. I have a doctorate in education. I never intended on going to education. I went into education because my son had problems in school, and I didn't like the way young black men were being treated then, are being treated now in school, and so I decided to do something about it. Instead of being on the sidelines, I decided to get in the game, and so I got into education.
Wow.
And been in it since. I thought about getting out, and then I got pregnant with my daughters, my twins, and I was like, well, this is my last hurrah. I got to stay in it, because there's no way I would leave their education to chance. And
right.
So I realized being a part of it empowered me and empowered them. And so that's my background.
That's a little bit about your background. So she's also published.
Yes.
So yes. She's published.
I am a published author.
Yes, you are.
And I'm an educational
some
consultant.
Tools. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm an educational consultant, and so I
ABCs?
Get.
ABCs? Is it the ABCs?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I write curriculum.
That's right.
And so my.
She over here trying to be modest, y'all, because you see how long she's like, yeah, and I got this, and you know, we doing this. That's right. The list is long, but it's all good quality work.
You know. It
right.
Is.
You know.
It's something.
So. Come on now.
How funny. You know, it's funny. My a good friend of mine in California was like, hey, I need to do a curriculum vita. Mm-hmm. Can you send me a copy of yours? And I'm like, yeah. So I sent it to her. And to help her out, I sent her my cover letter too. Mm-hmm. She called me like an hour later. She's like, oh my God, you've done a lot. And I'm like, you know, sometimes it don't seem like it.
Yeah.
Because every day I have a humbling experience with a set of twins that are 11 years old.
Mm.
And I realize I am nothing other than mama, 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 mama. And so I forget some of it. But yeah, I am published. I write articles for different journals. I am a peer reviewer for a scholarly journal. Yeah. I wrote a dissertation around 10 years ago. And here we are in 2019 and everybody wants to know about it. So yeah. I figure I must have been kind of cutting edge because I thought I was when I wrote it 10 years ago and now people want to know about it.
But how powerful is that though?
Right?
Right?
I was like, I'm cutting edge.
The fruits of your labor, yeah. It's harvest time?
Not only that.
Two?
Not only that. So based on my dissertation, I started consulting. I've been a consultant for a while, but I started really focusing on all of my research and consulting based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to lock down over $70,000 annually worth of contracts.
Right.
Okay, and that's just two organizations.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, because I'm an expert in the field, right?
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I forgot. I wrote mm-hmm, a dissertation. Mm-hmm. I'm an expert.
And entrepreneur. So let's,
right.
And also, which we're jumping ahead, but I want to cover this because this is really important. Two organizations. And so when you're first starting, you know, a lot of people, they got to get their quote unquote hustle on. So, you know, you're all over the place. But then after you get some tenure in your hustle, right, you lock down two organizations and then you have a balance, mm-hmm. you know, because you are a family, a mom, right?
Am.
And a wife.
And a wife.
Right? So you have an entire
and
family and a grandma.
Yeah.
So is it Nana or grandma? Which
oh,
other
no,
one?
Oh, no, I'm Mimi.
You Mimi. Okay.
Yeah, because my grandmother is grandma and everybody on the block, everybody all over calls her grandma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when I had my first child, I didn't want to call my mom grandma because in our family there was only one grandma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so my kids called my mom Nana.
Mm.
And because my mom is Nana, I didn't want to be Nana. And so I told my daughter, we have to research it.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at grandma in different languages.
Okay.
And Mimi is grandma in Swahili. And so
oh, I love it. Yeah, that's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
So
I don't know which dialect, but I had a research. And
right,
it's like,
right.
You'll like this, mom. And so
right.
That's what I am.
Tell us a little bit about the balance between doing all of this and then also being a mom now of two small children, girls.
Girls, daughters.
Right, daughters. 11 years old.
Yeah.
All right, and
yeah.
now and you're still out there.
Yeah.
Hustling, bustling,
yeah.
but you got, like I said, some tenure.
Yeah.
So you're all your. Was it hard? So let me go back. Was it hard to, for you being a mom of two originally, mm-hmm. right? To find your ground in that, like, what? How did you do it? Like, how did you go to school? So, I'm not telling your age or anything, but
right.
you're not that old at all. And you
right.
have a 28-year-old daughter, you said. So you
I
had
do.
To have gone to school.
I did.
Right? While you had children. Like,
yeah.
how did you do all of that?
When I lived in California, it's funny because I had an unbelievable support system.
Okay.
I raised my two older kids by myself. But, okay, their father was absent.
Mm-hmm.
But his parents... His brothers, his sister,
mm-hmm.
they were all really involved with the kids.
Okay.
And so I remember when we separated and they would come over and say, okay, we want to give you an opportunity to find yourself, to do what you need to do, whatever that looks like.
Wow.
And so they would keep the kids on like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And I would... Either the kids would come back home on Tuesday and Wednesday, or I would go to their house and just spend a night out there. But, so during that period, I partied a lot, I hung out a lot, but being from California, I've been partying for a long time,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the college was across the street from my high school. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, well, we could run across to get to a party.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did all of that, but then when I found myself, like, trying to figure out, okay, what's my next move gonna be? I had an athletic scholarship, but I was pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and so that went out the window. I ended up being able to secure an academic scholarship because I was a pretty good student. In a class of 700, I was ranked 11, so I did well in school.
Right.
I went to college, and I flunked out, And wow. Yeah, I flunked out. I did. My first quarter in school, I got a C minus, a D, and an F plus. I flunked out. And so after getting mostly A's all of my life, here I am with this man and this child, and I didn't have a new normal at the time, and so I really didn't know how to navigate that space. And then there were feelings of self-worth that I was dealing with, because here I am, the girl who was supposed to do really well. Mm-hmm. I got a baby, I got a man, I'm trying to get to this college, and this is what my life is. And so I was dealing with all of that. I ended up going to the junior college, and which is like a community college, like OCC. Mm-hmm. I go to the community college, and I decide I'm going to finish there.
Okay.
And it wasn't that simple. I would go, take classes, withdraw, drop, globe, take classes, withdraw, drop. So what should have took me 2 years took me 10 years.
Okay, that's what's going to ask you. So how long did it
take? It took me 10 years to get my my associate's degree. But the year that I got my associate's degree, I walked across the stage with my AA in May. Same year I walked across the stage with my BA. In June, because when I realized I had enough units to transfer mm-hmm. back up to the university, I started taking classes concurrently. So I'm taking classes at the junior college, I'm taking classes at the university, I'm doubling up, I'm taking 25 units a quarter, and before you know it, I graduate.
Now by this time, you have both of your children are already born?
The two older ones are born.
Okay.
Yeah. And so in fact, I was accepted into a PhD program. At that time, my son was young, but he started having problems in school, and I changed my major. Even though I was accepted into a great program, it was my dream field. I was mm-hmm. going to study sociology of education with the emphasis on race, class, gender. I was going to sit back and have a teaching assistant who graded all the papers, and I was going to wear a smoker's jacket mm-hmm. and sit in a lounge chair. And, you know, that's what I wanted. I wanted to pontificate over stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when my son started having problems in school, I was like, okay, plot twist. And I decided to get a teaching certification because I felt unarmed when I went into schools to talk about my son's progress. And I had a lady tell me at one of the meetings, I shouldn't have to put up with his behavior.
Right.
And when she said that, I knew that I needed to be in education, because if she was willing to say this to someone who had, you know, done a little bit, what was she willing to say to someone who had nothing?
Right.
And so I was like, yeah, that's not going to jive.
And that brings us to, sorry to cut you.
It's okay.
No, that brings us to the sacrifice mm-hmm. of the dream mm-hmm. or what we thought was mm-hmm. our dream at that
right.
time, and having to put children first.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be a struggle for myself at one point in time mm-hmm. in life, and I can imagine that maybe also for others.
Oh yeah.
You know, what was that like in your head?
There were times that I would look at them, and you know, you have that martyr thing going on. Oh, I'm doing it for my kids. It's going to be okay. But then you have that other thing going on. It's like, man, I've sacrificed my whole life
mm-hmm.
and I'm used up and I'm worthless and I'm not going to be able to accomplish anything.
Can you tell the truth?
In my life.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was real talk. That was in my head. Well, after I had my daughter, there was this guy who kind of liked me and I kind of liked him. We never dated. I was walking through the mall pushing her in her stroller, and he said, oh, that's Chanel. She used up now.
You heard him.
I heard him. Now here, cut 10 years later, I got a master's degree. I'm teaching. I'm an adjunct professor at the university. I'm coaching my daughter's basketball team. I'm working with my son, helping him get better. I'm single, so I'm ready to mingle.
Right.
But I'm living my life, got a new home. I see him. He's the referee at a high school basketball game.
Wow.
And he's like, hey, Chanel. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, thank you. Because what you said resonated. Because I was already dealing with issues of self-worth.
Right.
And so when he said that, I spiraled. And when I spiraled, I decided the one thing that I knew that I could do,
mm-hmm.
the one thing that I've always done well, mm-hmm. the one commitment I could make was going to school. I got these kids, but I'm gonna figure out a way. And so my in-laws would keep the kids. My grandmother would catch the bus to my house.
Wow.
So that she could be there when I got there. And she would come in, she'd do the laundry, she'd clean the house, she'd do whatever she could so that I could take those night classes. My family, I'm the oldest of all the grandchildren. Mm-hmm. My family was very supportive. What do you need, Chanel? How can we help you?
That's
because
awesome.
You said you're going to do it, and we believe it. We don't know it's possible, but if you said it, then it's so. And so they were really supportive, really helpful. And I would say that growing up and being a single parent, I didn't have the type of single parent experience that a lot of people have because my in-laws were unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, my kids spent a lot of time with them, and
well,
I was
yeah.
able to do what I need to get my mind right. Mm-hmm. And then I've always had a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. And then I've always been a pretty good hustler too. And so we never went without or anything like that. I didn't really know what it was like to be a parent where end all be all is me until I moved to New York and had my twins.
That's when it turned for you.
Woo!
But real quick, I want before we move to the girl, the twins, I had struggled. So the reason why it's taken me so long with school was because I suffered from abandonment issues mm-hmm. with my mom. Mm-hmm. So
my dad was murdered.
I had my associates.
Yeah.
I had a couple of my cousins, they left, you know, my little cousins with my grandmother mm-hmm. to go away to school. My cousin went to mm-hmm. Buffalo, got her degree. When I had my son, I didn't do it.
Right.
And they was like, well, just leave him with mommy or do this
right.
and do that. And I was like, I'm never leaving, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, it was hard.
For one, I never wanted my kids to call anybody mama.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was that like, you know, having to, like, not be with them for 4 days out of the week?
You know
just
what?
About.
And
how
I
did
be,
you get
can
through
I be
that?
Super real.
Yes.
I was partying so much.
Oh, you were that's right. I forgot you said it. Part,
no.
It goes together.
There wasn't a party that I did not attend.
Okay.
I mean, hey, you name the person, I've been to their party.
Yeah, okay.
You name the person. Think of someone from that time.
Yeah.
I went to
you
that
was
party.
At that party.
Yeah. And so.
Oh, you had real good in-laws. They were the best. Darn.
Man, I can't tell you how good they were. And it was something because I remember being at parties. Because this is funny. I remember being at parties and in Hollywood and different places and seeing my kid's dad. I'm like, well, I know he ain't spending time with the kids this weekend, even though his mama got him, you know. But.
How old were you around this time?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
I won't say.
All right.
But I. So I lived a full life.
You lived a full life.
I'll say that. And then I started working. It's funny. I was working as a bus driver. Mm-hmm. And I was working for a school district.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a Bernie or a Laidlaw. It was the school district bus company. And I think I got started driving this bus. And they were going, what they say, we'll pay you $10.41 an hour. And I was like, okay, because mm-hmm. everybody else was making $6 an hour at that time.
You don't get it, so
and I was like,
good.
10 is good.
Yeah.
And within 3 months, I got a 50-cent raise. And so I was at $10.91. I was like, okay, that's cool. And then a year later, I was at 12 and some change. And I was like, okay, so I probably should stop all the foolishness and shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped doing a lot of the stuff. Because I was one of those people who, as long as I get to bed at 3 o'clock, I can be up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And so I was doing that. And then I said, no.
So you were able to basically manage
yeah,
your lifestyle.
My lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah, early on.
Yeah, I've learned to do that.
Right.
And then I got brothers. I have a brother who is 4 years older than my daughter.
Okay.
And that I took care of, that I dropped off at kindergarten.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
And so, but no, when I started making more money, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's the incentive to chill.
Right.
I don't need nothing else.
Right.
That is my incentive. And so, you know, I'm making more money, bought a new car, living in a townhouse. I'm still young, got my kids. I can go to any gathering I want. If they say freak niggas in Florida, I can go,
you
know, because
yeah.
I got money to do it. But I there was one thing that I didn't have, and that was my degree.
Right.
And the tugging on me to go get that degree. And so I started that's when I got serious about school and started knocking out the courses, and I got the degree. When I got the degree, I decided that I was going to resign from driving the bus. Mm-hmm. And in resigning from driving the bus, I became a substitute teacher. Mm-hmm. I got a contract within 3 months to be a full-time permanent teacher. My first 2 years of teaching, I probably made $5,000 to $7,000 less mm-hmm. than I did driving the bus, my last year driving the bus. Because my last year driving the bus, I was like $28 an hour.
Right, because you had longevity, you worked your way.
And I worked my way up. And I was only working like 5 hours a day driving the bus. But I made more than I did teaching. And I was like, oh, this is crazy. So mm-hmm. I had to go get a master's because that was the only way I was going to move across the salary schedule to make more money. And so I did. And once I got my master's degree, I was like, well, I might as well go get a doctor.
Keep going.
Because I'll tell you, I was in a master's program and there was this lady and she would walk into the building. She's my professor. And her hair was always done. She had on a Jones New York suit. She always had a Starbucks in her hand, nice little briefcase. Black woman. Well, black and Mexican. Mm-hmm. And I just watched her. And I was like, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. And then one day she pulled me to the side. She said, I see you watching, so what's going on? I said, I'm debating if I want to do this or not.
Yeah.
And I said, I really want to, but I'm like, ooh. She's like, okay, so you're going to graduate with your master's this quarter. Yes, I am. She said, did you know less than 1% of African American women have a doctorate degree?
You told me that when I met you.
And I said, no, I did not do that. And she said, you know what's on my license plate? And I said, no. She said, 1%er. She said, not for that other thing, but for this.
That's
less
right.
than 1% of African American women have a doctorate mm-hmm. degree. And that was it. I was like, okay, I'm going to take the GRE. I'm gonna fill out this application. I'm gonna do all of these things. And so I did it, and I got accepted into a doctorate program, knocked it out the park, wrote a 400-page dissertation on cultural competency and social awareness mm-hmm. in education. And so that degree, that PhD that I was going to pursue, I ended up doing the work on it anyway.
Right.
And so I am an expert in the field based on the work that I've done, mm-hmm. which was the work that I always wanted to do from the beginning. So it came full circle.
It came full circle.
So
now we fast forward to, so we have the support story as a parent.
Right.
Boom. Now you hit New York with
right.
the twins. Different story.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Because I was raised by a village.
Right.
And
then
I
now
got
you
aunts.
Had.
On my mama and daddy's side.
Right.
My grandma, who'd do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just me and them.
Now it's just you and them.
And my two older kids are here, but my daughter's on her way to college. And then she's gone to college. And my son is going into the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's gone. And I'm looking at these girls. And I'm like, I guess we all got to go to the grocery store together, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. You know?
Shock, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Culture shock. Another type of culture shock for you, wasn't it?
Because I wasn't used to it.
Yeah.
Because I did not have to do
me.
That type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
when I moved to Syracuse, I lost my whole support system.
Support system.
I didn't even realize what I was getting myself into when
idea.
It happened. It was...
No.
Yes, it's a whirlwind.
It was crazy. I mean, and I am their end-all, be-all, and so they always want to talk to me, and I'll be
mm-hmm.
like, oh, my God, there's nobody else for them to
You're
talk
getting
to.
Close. Yes, right? So now the bond begins.
The bond is different.
Yeah.
It's different. And but as an older person...
As an older parent.
I was different.
Yeah.
Because I was reckless with my two older children.
Yeah.
And my daughter, she always sums it up. She says, the girls are a reflection of who you are as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is nothing you could put in front of them that they don't believe that they can accomplish.
Right.
Because they are who I am now.
Today.
My daughter, my oldest, is a reflection of who I was back then.
Right.
Very talented, but sometimes unsure of myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when I'm talking to her about things, she's like, oh my God, Mom, how can you be this confident in everything?
Yeah.
And I'm like, baby girl, how can you not?
Are you surprised?
Yeah.
And then you start to make the connection.
Yeah, and so how I have to feed into her is different. Because I don't have to feed into my adults.
Even though they're younger.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't have to say nothing to them.
Yeah. I know, I met them. She doesn't.
Right. You know? But in the same breath, she says that how you parented us is different from how you parented, how you are parenting the girls. She said, because you were so hard on us. Mm-hmm. You were so dogmatic about certain things that we didn't trust our own abilities to fly. Mm-hmm. She said, with Gianni and Zaniya, you sit back and be like, you're going to bust your head and don't say nothing else. Mm-hmm. And just let them do it. She said, but it taught them courage, you know, and they will jump out at anything. If you say, if they say, you know what, I think I want to live in a mansion. You say to them, oh, okay, I think that's a great idea. And it's in their head that they're going to live in a mansion.
Right.
And they're going to figure out what they need to do this, you know. She's like, whereas if I said on the inside, I'm like, how in the hell am I supposed to do that? I can't this. I can't that.
Right.
But she always says, looking at what I'm doing now feeds her. It helps her. But watching how I'm raising the twins is helping her be a mom, better mom. Because my granddaughter is just like my twins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing she can do. You know.
I find, so my kids got a gap as well. They're 8 years apart.
Yeah.
And I find with Jaziel, he has ambitions as ideas, right? Well, now he's in college and he's in his comfort zone because he's doing really well. He's doing better in school in college than he was doing in high school.
Well, that's typically
academically, but still when it comes to drive though, JL has my drive as an adult parent. And I say adult mature parent.
Right.
Because I had Jaziel, I was in my young, I was 24 and I was
I grew with him. That.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes.
I grew, he likes to say how we grew together. You know, he's like, I watched you grow up just like you watched me grow up in the way he was with me hand in hand. And then with JL, after I got a little more experience in life, education, you know, and also in my career, and just experienced that life and that world as well, she has a different part of me. You know, so I find her to be more mature sometimes than even Jaziel in his thinking. And she's ambitious, has goals, but she knows about a plan.
Right.
So, you know, you got this 10-year-old and she's like, all right, I need this amount of money. How am I going to get it? I'm going to walk this many dogs. Because now she made herself a dog walker. She done figured out ways to do, like, she's just like, how am I going to do this? Because we struggle so hard here, and also that's another thing. He grew up with a support system, not wanting for anything, you know, taking life for granted and all of these things. And then her, she experienced me falling into poverty and then going through the struggle and trying to make it. So she has a different story.
My two older children never had a struggle day in their life.
Right.
At all.
Right.
They have an uncle who's a professional football player. Their grandparents were well off.
Yeah,
so I married into a really good family.
Right.
I did. So they've never struggled. Traveled. My daughter had purses, all kinds of stuff growing up. When we moved here, they were like, what is this? We don't live like this.
Why that's happening to Jaziel. He's had a hard time adapting.
My daughter, when we moved here, she got back on a plane and went back to California. She was like, I am not living like this. And, you know, I was in a situation, in a relationship with someone who didn't understand my hustle, my drive, my ambition. And I didn't understand people who didn't have it.
Right.
And so I was like, I don't get it. How you're okay with just this. This is not okay for me, you know. And
it was like coming into a world of where, like, my normal for me, I was like, this is not my normal.
Right.
And now my normal is what? Because this isn't it.
Right.
And then with Jaziel, that's why he always wanted to go home. He was so unhappy and so miserable, but he couldn't because he's still a teenager, young. And me, as an adult, you know, as a grown woman, I'm like trying to figure this whole thing out because I don't have the same support. And my grandmother was only, but for so long, able to support financially however she could. And then she started getting older and dementia, et cetera. And that's when God showed me, though, why it was so important for me as a woman to be here and also as a parent because it settled me down. It made me focus more. It grew me in a wonderful way.
Right. Like, because, see, I, I had money in California, but I had my whole family, and I could do whatever I want, whenever I wanted to. And I was just living my life. Here, I had to become grounded.
Responsible.
Yeah. Okay. This is what it looks
Follow the rules and the laws.
Yeah. I was like,
everything.
God.
There's no more passes for you, I said.
But in looking at the girls,
right,
they were so young when we struggled that they have no idea that we did.
Right.
Oh, oblivious. They have no
clue.
Idea. And then before they could talk clearly, I had my doctorate. And so I was Dr. Mommy. I was like, nah, y'all gonna call me Dr. Mommy for a year.
I worked hard for this.
Yeah. But then I married Todd. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he matches my hustle. He matches my drive.
Yeah, yes.
He matches my ambition.
Yes.
We can go get it.
Y'all can. Y'all
we
do.
We can go get it.
Yes.
You know? And so having him changed, it gave me the opportunity to live like I was living in California with the access and the financial security, but with the maturity that came along with struggling and being by myself out here.
Right.
But because of him, the girls have never really seen struggle, you know? They would never remember the first apartment that we lived. And one day we were driving by, they're like, did we know somebody who lived there? I'm like, we lived there. You know? And so it was good to get grounded because once I got grounded, then I knew what direction I needed to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, have someone who understands your ambition, understands your yearning for more than what you see in front of you.
Right.
And understands your commitment to Black excellence, because that was my thing the whole time. And I'm like, how can I live in mediocrity and still claim that I am operating in a state of excellence, or at least optimal?
Right.
You know, at least optimal. And he matched it. And I was like, okay, this is different now.
Yes.
You know, we can go get it now. And since we learned how to exist together, because, you know, with marriage, you have married couples and married individuals.
Okay.
I talk to people all the time who are married individuals. Married individuals are people who, yes, we're married. Yes, we sleep together at night. Yes, we will do things periodically together. But there isn't a shared vision, a shared mission, shared goals. Todd and I have a shared life plan. We got things we have to accomplish together. And I remember being in California, and most of the people I knew were married individuals.
Right.
Because it was easy to be that in California. Here, when we decided to embrace our shared vision, we knew that we were going to be a married couple. He said something to me about a year ago. He said he knew the vision and plan for his life that was supposed to take place was going to come through me.
Yes.
He said that.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. He said, I needed you to realize that yours was going to come through me.
Right, because he already knew.
Because he already knew.
We had the he and I was sitting in the
living
room.
Yes, in the living room at my house.
At your house, your first house.
Yes. Oh, right.
Which your new house looks like the house you had. Like this, they got, guys, they got, listen, this couple got this thing down with this visualization.
Yes.
Calling it into existence.
Yes, manifestation
thing. Yes. They got it down packed. I'm a witness. I was there. So, but he had told me in the living room, called her into my life.
Yes.
You was in the kitchen. I was like, damn, that is deep.
Yes. And he says it all the time.
He was like, I called her into my life.
Yeah.
He said, I saw her in it.
Yeah.
And when I met her, I knew it was her. I was like,
every time I'm somewhere speaking, because he, on his vision board, he had this picture from the movie Why Did I Get Married? Where Janet Jackson is speaking and Malik Yoba is watching her speak. And I think that's who the actor that she was married to in that movie was. And So Todd said, I always envisioned myself watching you speak, mm-hmm. or watching my wife speak, or watching my wife do what it is that she does.
Right.
And he said, the first time you were asked to speak, and I remember I was standing at the door because I was nervous, he said, and I realized, okay, it's happening.
It's happening.
This is it. This is what I called into my life. He says, so now, and anytime you're speaking, anytime someone asks you to do something, or you have to stand up in front of a lot of people, or when you're operating in your gift, he says, I know, I remember, I called her into my life. This mm-hmm, is what mm-hmm. it's supposed to be. But no, we...
Wait, can we go to now when he said to you, because that part I didn't know.
Yeah.
Not that I'm supposed to know everything about what y'all talking about, but when he said, I was waiting for you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I was waiting for you now to see that what you needed, well, it wanted to come through me. Right. Was it hard for you to get there because you was on, before him, you were kind of like now on, this, on your own.
Now, let me tell you, see, here's the thing.
Was it hard to get there?
Coming from a space where you've been independent and been able to really hold it down, and not just hold it down, but thrive mm-hmm. by yourself, mm-hmm. it was like, I don't really need this. And so, one, I had to shake that. Because as a black woman, I was raised to believe, oh, I don't need no man, you know. I needed to shake that. So that was the first part. And
sure, this is because that's good. Okay.
We had a crisis, mm-hmm. and... during this moment, he came to me and he says, I don't know what to do. And my response was, well, what do you want to do? And we sat down. In fact, we were laying in bed and I could tell that he was upset. And so I just kind of held him. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I said, you know what? We got a half a bottle of wine downstairs. Let's go downstairs. Let's have a glass of wine. Let's figure out what we're going to do. And so we get downstairs and we're talking, and I really want him to talk, because whether it's in my head or not already, I need it to come from him though. Mm-hmm. And so he says, I want to do blank, blank, and blank. Mm-hmm. And I said, I've been waiting for you to say it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get you there. And so I got my iPad out. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I start typing up notes based off what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, okay, I've been in business for 10 years. I've been in business for 10 years. There was a time that I didn't get checks for doing anything. Mm-hmm. There were times that I was getting checks for doing a whole lot of stuff. And then there were times that I was like, I ain't doing it because I ain't getting a check. And now I'm here where, you know, you got to pay me to walk in the room.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But, and so I'm talking to him and we're talking about it. And at that moment I said to myself, maybe I'm supposed to take a step back from some things to make sure I can help him take his rightful position on top.
That's right.
And so, because I'm the girl who married the man who wants to be king. Mm-hmm. If I'm married to someone who doesn't want to be king, I'm with the wrong man.
Right.
I can let you know right off the bat.
Right.
I am the girl who marries the man who wants to be king.
Yes.
And so, when he realized that it was time to take his rightful position on the throne and be king, I felt like it was my job to support him and help him in any way.
Yes.
And so, that's when I realized, okay, all right, whatever has to happen, has to happen. We are a married couple. Even though I know I can thrive on my own, mm-hmm. what we are trying to do together mm-hmm. is beyond thriving. It mm-hmm. is about legacy and it's about generations.
Right.
And so that was my aha moment, even though his moment came a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But we didn't know what our thing was going to be. Mm-hmm. We just realized what our thing was going to be. But when we realized it and we were able to tie the mission and the vision mm-hmm. and the goals to it, mm-hmm. and I was ready to say, okay, this kingdom that mm-hmm. I've always envisioned mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. comes with him on the throne.
Yes.
Not without him on the throne.
Right.
And so after that, even on the bad days when I want to cuss him out, we still got a shared vision. And no matter what, that's the vision.
Right.
You know?
And that's, I'm not married, so I wouldn't know. However, God has shown me a lot.
Yeah.
And there's been some confirmation from, you know, friends, your husband, you being that
because someone that's at your home.
Y'all are very open. And then, you have the ability to, you have foresight and you're really good at reading, you know, people and situations. And so I knew I was a first lady to someone or something.
Right.
Someone, right? To someone, I'm a first lady. I know that about me.
Right.
And God was saying, but you're not acting accordingly, so he's right. not going to see you
right.
until you start acting accordingly, right. carrying yourself like the first lady that you are. That's
True.
What I call myself for. It doesn't mean like a pastor
nope.
or a president. My man has a mindset.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Of a king, being of God, like godly, he's a godly spirit, you know, not God, but godly. He honors God.
Right.
But he knows.
Well, I can tell you right
he's
here
a man
now.
Who knows who he is.
Right.
And he's gonna have vision and goals, and
right.
he needs me, right?
To get him there.
To get him there,
get there,
and I can. So
right.
all, while I was thinking, like I'm doing all this because I've been by myself, thriving,
right.
trying, hustling,
right.
or whatever. It's not in vain. It's
right.
because he's
preparing you for
he's preparing me for it. Yeah.
I cannot tell you.
And I've accepted that.
What has happened in our life since I've taken a step back
mm-hmm.
and been like, okay, I'm gonna do everything I can
mm-hmm.
to make sure everything that we're working on goes the way it needs
mm-hmm,
to.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you the blessings that have come.
Girl.
I cannot
Girl.
Because we all mm-hmm. everybody don't need to know.
No.
But
I know.
Oh my gosh.
When we turn
gosh.
That off.
Yeah.
But it's just something about being obedient,
mm-hmm.
right? When you be obedient and submit.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Believe me,
right.
I understand because we own.
Right.
But believe
yes.
me, I understand.
Now, I am telling you. I mean.
How wonderful
how
it is.
Things have happened, not just on, not just in the marriage, but like the projects that we're working
right.
on. Right. And the project that he is head of. That he needed me to do things on because I knew he couldn't do it,
mm-hmm.
but I knew I was fully capable.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are days where I'm sitting down at the desk working on things and that he can't do. I have to do
right.
to make sure they get done, to connect with different people, and it all works out.
Because it's a balance.
It's
Sounds
a balance.
Like it's a balance.
He always says, you know, I know what I'm good at. You know what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I stay in my sandbox and you stay in your sandbox, we're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we just don't step on each other's toes.
Mm-hmm.
But in being obedient with all that I need to do to help him, everything that I wanted to happen with the coaching and consulting
mm-hmm,
piece
mm-hmm.
has happened.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
You know?
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
everything has happened. And so... Now, I mean, where we're going now is astronomical.
Mm-hmm. Which pays ways for the girls.
Yeah.
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 And having
other
them
people.
And other people, yeah.
You know, at capacity, the business, the company that we're starting will be able to employ 50 people.
Awesome.
50 people from this community.
Right.
Not outside.
Right.
From right here.
Right.
You know, and so our goal is uplift, add value. You know, we are here to whom much is given, much is expected, and we have been given a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And extremely blessed to have come from the type of backgrounds we both come from
mm-hmm.
and to be able to live the life that we are able to live. And so now we're like, okay, how can we make sure other people have access to this type of life? Well, this is what we're going to do. And so, you know, it's been remarkable. It's been outstanding.
Wonderful.
But, you know, I know I'm hard-headed. Oh, I am. You know, I'm real hard-headed. But when it was time to be obedient, I knew how to do it. I knew how to do it.
There's something powerful in knowing. I don't really believe in flaws anymore.
No.
You know
this
what
is
I'm saying? It's just who you, exactly. But embracing it and being able
yeah.
to acknowledge it is how
yeah.
you get through it. For someone who doesn't know, it's
yeah.
like totally different. But
yeah.
if you can be aware of who you are, that self-awareness
yeah.
is
yeah.
powerful.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
when you think, when I'm learning, aging now, 42, you
yeah.
know, graduated from sis to auntie.
Right.
Okay, so like I'm crossing the line. That's how
right.
I say it now.
Right.
Like I'm auntie now. Like I'm
right.
moving on in there.
Right.
But, and it's still a process, but now I'm saying, wow, just when I thought I knew me, I'm starting to know me more. And I love it though.
Right.
You know, with all the stuff.
Right.
I mean with the mess
right.
and everything.
Well, you know what though?
I love it and I've embraced it because
yeah.
it made you
who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
I always tell people, and I remember I'm always asked this question, would you change anything?
Right.
And I say, if I changed anything, I wouldn't be standing in this very position,
right.
and I love where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
I go on the Black College Tour regularly.
Yes, I. Yep.
And This year I had an epiphany. Mm-hmm. I think that would be the one thing that I would consider changing. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to a PWI, I would have gone to a black school.
Really?
A HBCU.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Because I'd probably be the president by now.
Yeah.
Because they nurture excellence. That's what they
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Whereas in these other settings, you know, but I...
Shoot, you set your own...
That, right, I could. but I don't say it with regret. I don't regret the path I took. I just mm-hmm. like, hey, people, would you change anything? Well, not really, but I think it would have been pretty awesome to go to HBCU.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
just
yeah.
saying, all of that in one space, you know. Yeah. But otherwise, no. Man, I love this life.
That's so cool. Well, now, before we go, I want to talk a little bit about exposing the girls to culture, because you're good for that.
Deliberate.
Right.
Deliberate.
Yes.
You know.
Why do you do it, and why is it so important?
One, because I have two older kids, mm-hmm. and it was always keep them away from this, keep them away from that. Okay, when you keep them away from certain things, and they go to these schools where people don't look like them, then what happens is they have that identity crisis later on. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at my little ladies, and I said, okay, they go to private school, they're in this neighborhood, but they will be exposed mm-hmm. to culture every day of their life. We are deliberate about it. Mm-hmm. The people who come to our home, the organizations that we are involved with, because what we want them to know is your blackness, mm-hmm. your melanin is magical, mm-hmm. and you are excellent. Mm-hmm. And we bring people who represent black excellence in your life on a daily basis.
Yes.
So these images that you see on TV, you will know that this is not the norm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
this is not a reflection of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The reflection of us is what they saw or what they see at their house mm-hmm. every day, or what they saw going on the Black College Tour this year, because they saw kids getting into college. They saw black professionals. They saw all of that. Mm-hmm. And so we are very deliberate about it, because we want them to understand that they are descendants of gods and goddesses
yes.
and kings and queens.
Yes.
And there's nothing that they cannot accomplish.
Right.
And we want them to walk into every room with knowing that they are standing on the shoulders of the ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that way, we believe it, and that is the end of it for us. And so they will know the people who came before them that pushed them
mm-hmm.
and encouraged them, mm-hmm. and they will know that there is a village that supports them in Syracuse, New York, because we don't have family here, but we got a group of people who love us and love our kids, and we're about it.
Right.
You know? And we want to be able to give that to other folks' kids. And you know, it's nothing like being able to see your little black girl, being able to engage a little black boy,
mm-hmm.
and it has nothing to do with sexuality or intimacy.
Anything. Yeah.
It's just because we're all at the same house, and so let's play checkers, or
yeah.
let's play chess, or let's listen to this music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or let's play this game on, let's all get on the Wi-Fi network so we can all play this game together.
Yeah.
And so we are deliberate about that.
Yeah.
We are.
And that's,
you know,
it's important.
We
because
are.
They have to know
because
that.
Because we know what it's like when you're not.
Right.
We both have older kids.
Yes.
We know what it's like when you're not.
Yeah. Love it. Three tips. You ready? All right. First one. What is a great tip for a woman, any woman, not any woman, but just a woman? Because, you know, I'm having a hard time staying away from labels, even mm-hmm. though I can't stand them. But, mm-hmm. you know, culturally, because of where I'm centered, I find myself talking about blackness a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I love humanity in
mm-hmm.
general,
mm-hmm.
and I have, like, a diverse group of, like,
mm-hmm.
associates
mm-hmm.
and friends. And I want everyone to listen, because I believe that
right.
everyone could get something from
mm-hmm.
you or the people that I speak with. So a woman who is right now in her startup mode
mm-hmm.
of her business,
mm-hmm.
all right, she has children,
mm-hmm.
all right, and she's trying to figure it all out
mm-hmm.
and balance it out. And then she wants to give up because we all know it's
mm-hmm.
hard. She's not making no money,
mm-hmm.
okay? The checks aren't coming in
mm-hmm.
for her.
Not at all.
You know, she's been asking people for help.
Mm-hmm.
She's not still getting, like, the help she needs because
mm-hmm.
there's so many choices of people to, quote-unquote,
mm-hmm.
consult with,
mm-hmm.
but they're just not fulfilling
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give her until she finds the right one?
Trust the process. Continue to take the next right step. whatever that next right step is, mm-hmm. take it every day. Sometimes the next right step is just waking up in the morning and looking in the mirror and saying, I love you.
And that's it.
Sometimes that's it.
Yeah.
Sometimes mm-hmm. it's not opening up the laptop or going to the library
right.
or seeking some consulting advice. Sometimes it's just
right.
wake up, stand in the mirror, say, I love you.
And lay back down or
and
do whatever.
And lay back down.
And it's still productive.
Yes.
That, I
yes.
tell people, like, let's define what productive is
yeah.
for us and what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because there's this stigma that productive means you got to be doing
no.
something all the time. And
no.
that's not necessarily
uh-uh.
true.
No.
I love
that's
that.
That's what I would say.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Trust the process.
Okay.
And if you have a dream or a vision that's inside of you, it wouldn't be inside of you if it's not supposed to come out.
Right.
Trust the process.
Love that. Powerful. Okay. What did, oh darn, I forgot to get your thoughts on education right now today, because there's so many enrichment opportunities in vocational education instead of college that
mm-hmm.
people, because every school's, I'm not going to say school is not for everyone because we all need education,
right.
but not everyone, you know, can go
right.
to college
I'm
or
want
to
go to
that, college. So
it doesn't have to be either or.
Okay.
You know, figure out what you love. Figure out what you do. Like, I got a doctorate degree. I'm not sure any of my kids are going to go get one. I would like for them to.
Right.
You know, but I'm not sure they would. One of my kids wants to open up a dance studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. Okay.
Right.
Find your flow. Make yourself happy. I believe that vocational education programs should be back in schools.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should have the option. I think the problem with the old voc ed model is that all of our students are of color were pushed towards that
yes.
instead of college. I think that parents need to realize that when it comes to the educational team, mm-hmm. them and their student are the key members, nobody else.
Right.
Nobody else. You and your student are the members of the educational team. Everybody else is just a resource.
Right.
And I think that if parents realize that, then they'll realize just how powerful they are. But I do believe in voc ed. I do believe, I got all the degrees, so you know I believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe in a young person's right to live out loud, deliberately, on purpose,
mm-hmm.
doing what it is that they love.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in that.
Okay. Number three. So earlier you were talking about self-worth,
mm-hmm.
right? And you were so open about that.
Right.
In that process,
mm-hmm.
you know, knowing when you didn't have it and knowing mm-hmm. when you do have it, basically. And then moving into relationship, what I find is that, again, another stigma of where when women are lonely or
mm-hmm.
women who want to be married and want to have someone in their life, there's always someone in their ear telling them that love yourself first, as if, okay, I love myself and I'm still lonely. Like, that's not always the answer,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you at least agree with that you can love yourself and still want
mm-hmm.
and desire
absolutely.
To
absolutely
okay good
you know what
so what yeah
go ahead no you go ahead give
oh,
me
okay
question.
So the question was, so in your experience, your opinion, your experience, I mean in life, not even
mm-hmm.
just professionally,
mm-hmm.
What would you say to the woman who does desire to have a husband and to have a helpmate in
mm-hmm.
their life or be a helpmate to
mm-hmm.
someone else
mm-hmm.
And is single right now? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, dating is really hard,
mm-hmm.
You know, for us, especially me. When
mm-hmm.
you get older, you know, it gets harder, too, at
you
the same time.
You know what
so
I would
what?
Say, but this is the fast and managed side of me. I'm just going to put it out there.
But, yeah.
Every day you walk out the door,
mm-hmm.
expect to meet him.
Okay.
Every day. So put yourself together.
Yeah.
Be at 10.
Every day
you walk out the door,
right.
expect to meet him because he's looking for you.
Right.
You know, I am notorious for putting on a pair of sweats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, notorious.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that I met my husband, I decided to fix up. I will put, I have a sweatsuit that they call the Green Monster because it's that horrible. And I wear it every day. And I would have worn it that day.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter was like, for real, you going out like that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. But at that moment, I realized, no, I'm going to fix up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make my little curls pop, put some lipstick on, put some mascara on,
mm-hmm.
put some jewelry on,
mm-hmm.
and be extra cute. Probably put some heels on, too.
Right.
But I would say every day, and there are people who are going to say, oh, you don't have to do all that to meet a man. No,
mm-hmm.
you don't.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you feel good about you? Because fixing up makes me feel good about
you. It makes you feel good in general, right?
You know, and if fixing up changes your disposition, imagine what you're drawing into you.
And then also say, too, like I've been thinking lately, and this is a big deal, is that the husband, not even that I want, is the one that God showed me. Like,
right.
I'm very clear about now, which I'm loving, on not what he looks like, but who he is as a man, and he's that much more, right? So that means he's gonna have preferences. That means he's going to be particular.
Right.
That means he's going, like, I'm starting now
right.
to, like, see these
and
things.
And there's nothing wrong
and
with
nothing
that.
And there's nothing wrong. And I want to. The good part is that I also want to be at my best.
Right.
I'm in that space now
right.
anyway.
Right.
But, you know, even if I didn't feel like it, I still will because
right.
I know.
Yeah, see, that's how
high
I
five,
see
you know what I mean?
Girl,
like, because I know.
Yeah, no,
and I don't know. I'm big like this age thing. I don't know if, like, when you turn 42, if you was like this or not. But me, it's... I'm always bringing it up. I don't know, it could be my own conscious thing or whatever, because a 24-year-old called me Miss Lakia today. And then I was at the pizza shop, and this young adult, he's like 20. No, he said he was 19. He was about to be 20. Was at this pizza place, and he forgot my order. He was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, auntie.
Right.
And that's when I knew. That's when I was
right.
like, "Oh yeah, I'm auntie now. Okay,
right.
I'm starting to pull it all
right.
together."
Right.
So it's just a thing I'm going through, you know. And at my power party, I want to talk about that because my mom, she's far away. My grandmother's gone. I don't have other
right.
women and older sisters and stuff around me. I want to talk about what I'm
right.
experiencing
right.
in my body and in
right.
my mind.
Right.
And I'm excited about it. But
right.
I want to, like, talk about that because
right.
I got so much going on
right.
internally.
Right. No, I
you know
it.
What I mean? But even in mostly my
right.
mental.
Right.
My mental.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I feel like if you're a person that you're living a positive, productive life, and you're on a space and a mindset of self-development and constantly improving, then, you know, this is my normal.
Right.
Right? And so I'm, like, always on in my mind like that, which means that I am, again, just double talking. Sorry, I almost forgot this was on. I am, like, in that place of, like, just checking myself. And it's not in, like, with low self-esteem. I'm just checking myself and being like, okay, all
right,
good.
Right.
Like, you know,
right.
like,
right.
I'm
right.
there in that space.
Right.
That's normal, right?
Yeah.
Is it normal, like, when I'm experiencing?
Yeah.
Okay. That's
yeah.
Like, all
right.
of that is, you know.
Right. No, man, as you get older, you know, it's something that, it's the wisdom that comes with it.
Yeah.
It's the wisdom.
I used to be an idiot and be like, I used to be that 30, that 33, 35
right.
year old girl. And used to be, because I was dealing with older women, or not even that much older than me. But even I realize now 40 makes a big difference from 35.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I've always had, you
right.
know, women like 5-10 years older than me in my life. And I used to always be like the ignorant one, like, yeah, wisdom don't come with age. It comes with experience.
Right.
That dang yeah. one myth, that's a myth. Come with age, it comes with experience.
Yeah, okay. You keep saying
you keep
that.
Saying that.
Then realize what you learn when you hit 45.
Yeah.
Or what you know.
Right,
because
right.
the things that I'm able to say at this point, I can say them with confidence, without hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows I mean it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're like,
and you're okay with however they feel about it, right?
You mad?
Oh, I can't
put
wait to get
on.
There.
Now
I'm there, but I can't wait to
yeah.
really get there.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like, you know, it's like you think you know now
right.
about your confidence and not even caring, because I don't care no more.
Right.
I'm more around like, yeah, I don't give a shit with nobody
right.
how they
it's
feel about it.
It's a different level.
But I bet you it's another level.
It's a different level.
Learning. It's a level
yeah.
to everything.
It's levels to everything.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's so
it
awesome,
is.
Though.
It's levels to everything. And it's the quiet confidence, it's just all of it. It's something, because the hubby always says, so I got this friend, I think he got a crush on you. I actually think he got a crush on my whole family. I'm like, hey, sometimes it is like that.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But that's what's up. That's,
right.
that's
but
a good thing.
You know what? It is the woman that I am becoming is outstanding.
Because you're still growing too.
Yeah.
You're still evolving as
I'm
well.
Watching
you're
her,
you're
I'm
not
like,
old. I'm not, we're not talking like she's old. She's not no old. Like,
I'm like, oh, damn.
Hear it,
you know, most of the women in my life, I'm older than. But because of the life experiences, because of just everything that I've dealt with, most of them don't know I'm as old as I am.
Right, yeah.
They don't know. You know, and every time I say I got a daughter 28, they were like, how old was she? How old was she when she had her? And people, when I tell them they're like birth, I'm like, oh yeah, I had her, she mine. You know,
wow.
Yeah, I didn't inherit her, she mine. You know? When you see her, you'll see, she mine. She looked just like me. But it's just the wisdom that comes with it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm so excited.
Everybody don't need acknowledging.
No.
That's what I realized. Everybody don't deserve my response. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, but life is grand. I never thought that I would be as happy as I am in Syracuse, New York, because I'm from California where the sun is.